Well, if you love the Lord tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Appreciate the good day.
Yes.
Appreciate the preaching of the Word of God.
That's right.
From the men of God this morning.
Yes, sir.
How blessed we are.
Yeah, we are.
Be gathered in heavenly places.
Amen.
If you have a Bible with you tonight, if you'd turn the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 1. I want to say it's a joy to be in church with you this week. I'm glad my wife got to come. Her and myself has got help for being in the meeting. I've come not only to be a help, but to get help. Ain't you glad there's some places where you can come and get some help?
Yes, sir, preacher. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I've been a preaching where I pastor be 21 years Christmas. I get to preach to some of the greatest people this side of God's heaven. God has done things in that little town where I live that I thought I'd never get to see. Matter of fact, He's done things beyond my dreams. But ain't you glad you can still dream a little? I'm glad we got a God that will honor the desires of your heart. So dream big. The brethren won't like it, but dream big anyway. They didn't like Joseph dreaming, but he found out a God that would honor dreams. Nehemiah chapter number 1 verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, came to pass in the month Chislu. In the 20th years I was in Shushan the palace. One of my brethren came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that escaped, that were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province, they're in great affliction, reproach. Well, the wall of Jerusalem is a broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire.
Yeah.
It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept.
Yes, sir.
I mourned certain days and fasted and I like this and prayed before the God of heaven.
Yeah.
You'll notice here he prayed before the God of heaven. Then you'll find just a little bit on down in the reading that he prayed to the God of heaven. We ain't never going to pray to the God of heaven before we get before the God of heaven. So he said in verse 8, remember, I beseech thee, the word thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I'll scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn to me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out the uttermost part of the heaven, yet I'll gather them from thence. I'll bring them to the place I've chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand.
Oh, yes.
O Lord, I beseech thee, Let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. And I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for the good time at the house of God. We thank you for the word of God and the people of God tonight. You are a God of great mercy and compassion, and I bless you and I praise you tonight. God, you've been good to me, Lord, when I wasn't even good to myself, Lord. You've seen about me, and you've helped me, and you've blessed me, and I thank you for the good hand of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, when I didn't know you, the Lord, you loved me and died for me. I pray now you'd let preaching be easy a little while. Touch our hearts tonight. I'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'd like to preach tonight on this simple subject out of verse number 11. For I was the king's cupbearer. And I want to preach on this thought this evening on bearing the cup for the king. Bearing the cup for the king. Yes, sir. Now, you've noticed in the reading, I don't have to give you a lot of background, but Nehemiah found himself in a very bad place. Yes, sir. Matter of fact, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had led the people of God. He had burned the town down and brought little old captives back. And now Nehemiah's been raised in a foreign land. I want to tell you tonight that we still need walls in this day and this time. Walls protect us and walls help us. And Jesus said, come out from among them and be ye separate. God never intended for his church to look like the world or act like the world, but God intended his church to be a light to the world tonight. We need walls in our lives. God has boundaries for all of us. Now, I've noticed that boundaries not only protect me, but they protect others. So if God's put boundaries in your life tonight, it's not that he don't love you, but he loves you enough that he don't want to see you hurt by the honor and the glory of God. God's got boundaries set in my life, and I don't even want to get close to the fence. I'm afraid I'll trip and fall over it. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, Nehemiah found himself in a place where the walls was broken down and the gates were burned with fire. But all of a sudden, Nehemiah prays unto the Lord, and he makes this statement that I want to preach out of just a few minutes. He said, for I was the king's cupbearer. I was sitting in my chair not much after Christmas, and the Holy Ghost come by and spoke to my heart about a cupbearer. I like it when the Holy Ghost comes by down in your study and says something to you. I hear boys saying, well, you're not supposed to get a message unless you're reading the Word. I'm glad I get it both ways tonight. Don't matter how I get it, long as I get it. Somebody say amen. Boy, the other morning down where we live on Saturday, I love to try to study, get ready for Sunday. Special time for me. It come just a little bit of ice, you know, and our grand youngers. Anybody wish they'd had their grandbabies first? Say amen tonight. Lord, I love them grandbabies. Amen. They found out it's supposed to snow a little bit down in West Georgia, so they got everything out, and man, we barely had enough ice to come. Just made the ground muddy, amen? Well, Saturday morning, my oldest little grandbaby come down there wrapped up in her deer hunting clothes and her toboggan, and she put her head in the door and said, "Papa, we're going sledding." I said, "No, I got to study, got to preach in the morning." She lives right down the fence row, and she walked down the fence row and walked back into her mama's house, our daughter, and just a minute, my phone got blowed up with a text message, amen. It said, "Your grandbaby's down here crying. Said you didn't have time for her." Preacher, I want to be honest with you. I set that Bible on the table. I walked out and cranked that four-wheeler up, put my boggin on. I drug them grandbabies in the yard. You said, "Why'd you say that?" I said, "Lord, you can give me a good message by in the morning, but I'm going to take care of what you got on my heart. Ain't you glad there's a God that can give you what you need tonight?"
Amen, preacher. Hallelujah.
Guaranteed.
I said, "I imagine if I just take care of my family and study my Bible, God will give me what I need in the morning." There's a lot of preachers lost their family because they wouldn't take time. Nehemiah said, "As the king's cup." Got to pondering that, and I found this definition of a cupbearer. The cupbearer was an office of the highest rank in the royal court. It was the cupbearer's duty to serve drinks at the royal table. He not only served the king, but he also served the king's favored guest.
Yes, sir.
On the accounts of constant plots and vices, a person must be regarded as thoroughly trustworthy to this high position.
Yes, sir.
The king trusted him to be sure that he wasn't serving poison. I could go there, rabbit got up. My last night, I might as well shoot and head to the truck, amen. I like rabbit anyway, amen. Some of y'all done got too highfalutin' to eat out of brush piles and fence rows anymore. It do you good to have a little fried rabbit, amen. Matter of fact, my mama knowed how to make lard biscuits and white milk gravy, friend. You didn't pour her gravy out the bowl. You slung it off the spoon. Somebody say amen. I had a country mama knowed what it was about. I'm telling you, there's a lot of high-powered boys tonight. They serving bitter poison. Oh, child of God, the king has trusted us to serve it right tonight. Oh my, Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by him. If you took a poll across America tonight, it'd be many opinions. Honey, opinion will let you die and go to hell in your sin, but the blood of Jesus will wash you clean tonight. Now I must get to the preaching. I want to say about this king's cupbearer. First of all, there is the position of the cupbearer. It brought him to the king. Now you'll notice it was a touching call. He was picked from among other captives. Oh, I sure am glad that when God called me to be a cupbearer for the king, it was a touching call. He could have selected anybody else, but he picked y'all out. And I want to say this tonight. I'm a pastor. I want to preach to people and preachers. I want to say this, whether you're a public pastor or a private laborer, God may use you to be a cupbearer for the King. You see, by this position of the cupbearer, it brought him to the King. It was a touching call. Oh, God reached in and notified him. God picked him out from others. How can I tell you? God knows what he's doing tonight. I love what the men said this morning. Christ died for all. If I didn't believe that, I'd take my Bible and go back to Georgia tonight. And Jesus died for the sins of the world. But ain't it amazing that God reached in the folks that you was a running with and touched you with a call? I want to say it was a touching call. Secondly, it was a traced call. You say, how you know it's a traced call? Because the Holy Ghost picked up on it. You hear folks saying, well, I'll make that call because nobody can trace it. But let me tell you, when the King calls, you can always trace his number, amen. It'll always run right back to the heart of the King. I'm glad the Holy Ghost got involved in cupbearing. Oh, I want to say it was no doubt in my life a touching call. It was a traced call. It was a tentative call. He got my attention. Can you imagine the King sent over there and said, there's a little boy named Nehemiah. I've been a-seeing him. Said, boy, looks right, smiles, he's obedient. I've noticed how that he follows orders, and he's very young preacher. Can I tell you, God ain't never gonna trust you to lead until you can be led. Don't think you're gonna lead nobody till you can be led. Nehemiah was just about his business, and the King looked over there and seen something in him that nobody else saw. Isn't that amazing that God contacted you and wanted you to bear the cup for the King? Boy, I want to say it was a touching time. Oh, no doubt. It was a timely time. Well, I remember when God called me to bear the cup for the King. If you've ever met a man that was minding his own business, you're looking at him. I'm going to tell you, I was raised a little old Church of Christ boy, middle Tennessee, met my wife down at Panama City Beach, Florida. Some of y'all won't like that, but I don't care if you do or not. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, the God of heaven run his hand in my life with that little old Baptist girl. She got and took me to an old-time Holy Ghost church, and the Spirit of God arrested my soul. I've never forgot that the day that the Lord saved me. About 3 years passed, I was minding my own business. I was going to be a fish guide on West Point Lake, enjoying life just to fishing. Me and Simon Peter's got a lot of traits alike. And I tell you, such a timely call. Brother Harold, my wife's here tonight. You can go ask her. We was over there and she was stirring beans on the stove. Holy Ghost spoke to her, Brother David, and said, are you going to be a preacher's wife? She said, what you going to do with Ken? Little did she know that the king was going to come over there where I was and bring me out down in the palace and let me bear his cap around. I thank God tonight. I'm glad when he sent for me, it took me in the presence of the king. Oh, he come got me. I said, me? Lord, not me, Lord. I barely got out of high school. Lord, I didn't like school. Study. Get up and preach. Lord, not me. You got the wrong feller. The Holy Ghost set on me in such a way. Preacher, it was stronger than my conversion. But I know, Brother Brad, that God sent after me one day to bear the cup for the king. I want to say tonight, God is looking for folks that he can trust to bear the cup for the king. Now I want to say the king's cup bearer. You'll notice that in this text, the position of the cup bearer brought him to the king. But if you would, look in verse 1, the practices of the cup bearer burdened him to the king. He said simply in chapter 2, verse 1, it come to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes. Now watch your Bible. Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Now the practices of the cupbearer, it burdened him to the king. I noticed this, that he took up the king's wine and brought it to the king, and that's when his burden started. I got to thinking about this old wine. You remember the first miracle that Jesus ever did in the marriage of Cana of Galilee? Man meeting broke out. They said, I'm telling you, this is a sight here. He said, Jesus has come around and he's saved the best wine to last. You know, I was looking around here this morning and I was thankful there's some folks that have tasted of the old wine of the king. This new age contemporary crowd, honey, I tell you what they need. They need a good drink from the king. Amen. Oh, but you'll notice when he picked up the king's wine, he got a burden. Oh, isn't it amazing what the king can give you? That'll bring a burden. Now Nehemiah said, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now in this text, there's the position of the cupbearer brought him to the king. There's the practices of the cupbearer. It burdened him to the king. Now notice, chapter 2, verse 1, it was a brought cup. The Lord knows exactly what to put in our cup. It was a burdened cup. But it was such a beneficial cup. You know, I read in my Bible, in Matthew 26, 36, where Jesus drank of a cup. Matter of fact, he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And that crowd he was walking with went to sleep on him. The Bible said he went a little further. And he said the same thing. And then he said it for the third time, the same words. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Can I tell you tonight, the King knows exactly what to put in our cup. When Nehemiah picked up that wine and presented it to the King, it changed his whole burden. Now I want to say the position of the cupbearer brought him to the King. Aren't you glad the King sent for you? He could have picked anybody he wanted to because he's God. But he come to you. Ma'am, look at the folk. Look at the opportunities you've got that nobody else never had. It's your job. Ma'am, in your church where you go, isn't it amazing the opportunities that God has given you that nobody else has, and you're just simply bearing the cup for the King. Matter of fact, I believe when we get to heaven, some of God's choicest people that we've never heard their name. They've been over yonder pastor 9, 10, or 11 all their life, and they've just stayed with that cup. That little woman over yonder mailing her tithes to the church, she can't even get down there on Sunday, but she's so faithful to God. Prays for a preacher every morning and every night. And when the mailman comes by, she says, good morning, ain't it a great day? They find themselves bearing the cup for the King. Now, thirdly tonight, I want to get down to where I need to get. But with Nehemiah's statement of the King's cupbearer, there's the position of the cupbearer. It brought him to the King. There's the practices of the cupbearer. It burdened him to the King. But then here in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, there's the privacies of the cupbearer. It bonded him with the King. You say, what you talking about? Oh, he had special privileges. He got to go in to the King's court where nobody else ever got to go. I want to say something tonight. I sure do love bonding with the King. You say, how you know that, preacher? I want to say he had a private access. Yeah. Nobody else could go but the cupbearer. Yeah. Folks, could I help you just a minute about your preacher and your preacher's wife? You better thank the Lord in heaven that they have divine access. They get in places nobody else can go. Listen to me. Let this old country preacher help you tonight. It ain't what you're worth. It's who you know. King let him in. And he said, Nehemiah, what you need? I'm sure glad I've come up around some men of God that taught me that we have access. By our great and high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, we all have access to God tonight by Him. But it's just something special about a cupbearer. They have access to the King. When your preacher seems so burdened, maybe your pastor's here tonight, always remember this. You've not been there.
Right.
Have patience. Yeah. Have pity. I love what Brother Brian said this morning preaching. When people come to you and they're hurting and they're broken down, the best thing to say is nothing.
Yeah.
What a silly statement to say, I know where you are. I don't know where none of you are tonight, but I know somebody that does know. Not only he had divine access, he had divine attention. Why, when he walked in, he got the King's ear. Glad we got a God that listens to his children. Listen. To his children. When Nehemiah prayed to God, he said, Lord, would you look at me? And then, Lord, would you put your eyes on me? I want you listening and looking. Aren't you glad we got a God that's listening and looking? You see, Nehemiah, within this text, there was the privacy of the cupbearer. It bonded him to the King. He had private access. He had private attention. And I love this. He had private affection. Look what the Bible said, verse 2. The King said to him, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. I'm glad Jesus has got compassion.
Amen.
I'm going to help some of you young preachers right quick because I'm not going to preach much longer, but I want you to listen to this and take it. And I want you to listen to what I'm fixing to say. Just preach the Bible and don't try to straighten everybody out. If you'll just preach the Bible, you ain't got nothing to apologize for. See, we didn't write the Bible. We just read out of the Bible. This is what I'm saying. He had divine affection. Aren't you glad that Christ is compassionate? I've heard folks say all the time, oh, if I was them, I'd know what I'd do. Do you? My daddy had a saying in Tennessee, everybody knows how to handle the bear till they get a hold of him. Preacher, I heard you preach at Brother Fletcher's last year and you helped me. Brother Brian, I've heard you preach, but I got to enjoy it this morning, and you helped me. The other two men preached out of Exodus 33.
Yeah.
They helped me.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that the cupbearer not only has access and attention, but he gets affection?
Yeah.
He said, why are you so sad? Why are you so sad? You know, I've noticed this. The Holy Ghost has never drove me no place.
Amen.
He's wooed me.
Right, preacher. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, Ken, come here.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
I want to help you. Come
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
Come to me. I want to talk to you intimately. I got something you need to hear. If you just get close to me, I want to tell you something so bad.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, if you're accused all day, that ain't the Holy Ghost, that's the devil. God don't accuse you. The Holy Ghost convicts you. You say, you're so sorry. You a preacher? He accuses the brethren, and he's a liar. And one of these mornings, every knee is going to bow. Honey, he's a going to the lake of fire, and we ain't going to have no more devil. Amen. I'm a telling you, he's a backstabbing devil tonight. He's a belly crawling devil. Paul found him when he's building a fire. He is a biting devil. But I come to tell you tonight, one of these glorious days, he's going to be a barbecued devil. He's a headed to the fire. No more accusations. You see, cost his job, bonded him with the king. I love getting close to folks. But I've noticed some folks I've got to. Some way or another, we sort of get apart sometimes. But not him. He's a friend. Like I've never had. And I know the Bible says a man that has friends must show himself friendly. But there's one that sticketh closer than a brother. Nehemiah brought his burden into him. He said, Nehemiah, what's the matter? He said, flies are doing pretty good. Till I got the drinking wine out of your cup. He said, I declare, I done got me a big burden. He said, okay, what you want to do with it? He said, my father's down at Judah and Jerusalem. Said the walls tore down, the gates burned up. He said, really? He said, yeah. He said, well, what you want to ask me? He said, would you just send me down there? And this is an amazing thing what that king done. This is an amazing thing what our Bible. You know, this Bible's the most amazing book I've ever picked up in my life. Somebody said, I ain't got nothing to preach. Get in that book.
Yeah.
I close with this. You see, the king's cupbearer, there's the position of the cupbearer that brought him to the king. There's the practices of the cupbearer that burdened him to the king. There's the privacies of the cupbearer that bonded him with the king. Special. Fellowship. Lastly tonight, there's the privileges of the cupbearer. It backed him by the king. You say, did. Sure did. Look, verse 4. Then the king said to me, for what dost thou make request? He said, what's bothering you so? Yeah. Ain't you glad you got a God tonight that's interested in what's bothering you so? So he said simply, verse 5, I said the king, if it please the king, if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, thou wilt send me to Judah, the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said to me, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me. And I set him a time. The privileges of the cupbearer, it backed him by the king. Ain't you glad you got backing tonight?
Amen.
You say, how is he back, Pastor? Verse 6, he was backed by the king's permission. What he said in verse 6. So it, underline this in your little Bible now. So it pleased the king to send me. What an honor God would send you. I've heard this from the folks I pastor. This is what they'd say, Pastor, I've never worked in such a dark, bad place. Nobody around me loves the Lord. It is so bad. But you know, it's amazing how much just one little light does in a dark place. Did you know you can take all of the darkness and boiling springs and put in this house tonight and put one little light up and it'll just make the darkness flee? You can put all the darkness you want to, honey, on top of that light. It ain't going to do nothing to that light. Just make it get a little bit brighter. What are you saying, preacher? I'm a saying that God can use you in this day and this hour. Isn't it amazing that he'd send you? You know, God uses so many times the most unlikely. Isn't it have you ever thought about this a minute? Ain't it amazing God called me and you as a cupbearer? Now, if you think so much of yourself that you're doing God a privilege. Brother Earl Hughes. Anybody ever hear that man of God preach, Brother Earl Hughes? I had him down at Liberty Baptist one morning. I loved it. He come down there. He is preaching in a big way. You know, Brother Hughes had one of them fingers when he pointed to you. Looked like he was going to stab you with it. It's so long. He is preaching in a big way. And he said, hey, any of y'all ever been offended? Every one of them sheep turned around and looked at me where I was sitting. I was thinking, oh, Brother Earl, you just don't know where you are preaching this morning. This crowd stays offended. And this is what that old man of God said that morning. He said, the reason you've been offended is because you thought too much of yourself.
That's right. Yes.
Amen. What about that? Well, yeah. Who are we? To think our God owes us anything. That he gave us all he had. Went on a cross. Died. He that was rich became poor. You say, preacher, how'd it get him backed with the king? He's backed by his permission. Yep. Then you'll notice your Bible tells us something else. Brother Dave, if you get us somebody for him, Dave, whatever you want, preacher. Backed him with the king's papers. Said in verse number 7, moreover, I said the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me of the governors beyond the river. They may convey me over till I come to Judah. And a letter they saith the keeper of the king's fire. Can I tell you tonight, God has given us a letter. And it's still right. He said, I tell you what, I'm not only going to give you permission, I'm going to give you some papers. Yeah. He said, I'm going to let you go down there across the river and do something for God because you got some papers in your pocket. Yeah. Look here, children. This is all we need. With God's permission. Could I say something? I don't mean to be a long-winded preacher. I really don't mean to be. I know that ain't no excuse for long preaching. So I'm just cut off. But I want to say something. Lord showed me something one night. And I was flying to the Philippines to preach. God is dealing with me about Simon Peter getting on the water. He walked to Jesus. He began to sink. And he cried and said, Lord, save me. As a young preacher, Brother Davey, I preached many sermons on that crowd wouldn't get out and go with him. Pastor, God didn't say nothing to them. Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me. And I asked the Holy Ghost something. I said, Lord, why didn't you never say nothing to Peter as he is walking? This is what the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. He said, Ken, you see, I said something to Peter back yonder, and it worked when he got out yonder. And can I tell you, if God's never said nothing to you back yonder, leave it alone. Because when you get out yonder, you better know He's put something in you. A lot of people throw stones at Peter. He walked on the water. You walked on water?
Amen.
This amazing thing, what our Bible said when the Lord called him. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Ain't that amazing? A man walked on water and Jesus said, O thou of little faith. If little faith will let you walk on water, where would big faith take you? Where would big faith take you? Preaching on bearing the cup. Brother David, you're a pastor. I wouldn't hurt God's flock for love nor money. A man couldn't pay me enough money to preach a wrong sermon. You said, little woman sitting back there, and I sat with her tonight. We've been married 37 years. We've seen a lot. Stirring them beans on the stove, you're going to be a preacher's wife. She's never one time, never, said, let's quit. Ken, it's too hard and it ain't fair. You're always gone. She's never opened her mouth. I'm thankful. He's given me permission. Given me papers. Brother David, he gave him protection. You know what he did? He said, hey, you go on down there. I'm going to send some captains with you with horsemen.
Yes, sir.
Gateway, listen, this old preacher tonight, I'm done. There's your Nehemiah sitting right up there. Pastors, God's put something in you. He's given you permission. He's given us papers. He's given us protection. There's been times when I wondered how in the world I'd ever make it. And I got men in my church. It's what they say, preacher. It's going to work out, buddy. Just keep doing what you're doing. It's going to work. The Holy Ghost had me to preach of the morning. Hard. You know how the devil accuses you. I got ready to leave. There's little old one of my little grannies. She grabbed me. She said, Brother Ken. She said, hon. She said, hon, don't you forget this. This is why we're coming down here, because you preach to us. Don't you stop preaching. Preacher, one morning, me and you go check in with the king. We go bow at his feet and say, thank you for what you put in my cup that give me a burden that so many people benefited. Just because you entrusted me with a cup. What you need tonight, if it's okay with this pastor, I'd love to open up this altar. He's told me just mind the Lord, and I feel home here tonight. The same Holy Ghost that's here is where I get to preach. Let me tell you something, they's helped tonight. What you need? What you need? Your cupbearer, has it got heavy with you? Would you come and share it with him tonight? As we pause, would you come? Some of you captains may want to come by and say, you're Nehemiah tonight, and say, I want to help you. I want to be a blessing to you. Whatever God bids you to do tonight, would you just mind him? You'll never go wrong minding him. You ought to thank him so that he's entrusted you to bear the king's cup in a very bad hour. But sir, what great opportunities God has entrusted us with to bear the cup for the king. Ma'am, just keep bearing it. It's hard, but it's worth it. Others will benefit out of your burden cup. Others will be blessed if you'll just carry your cup and trust him for that you need tonight.